So in our text of study, our sermon will take all of John 17, but this morning I'm just going to read verses 20 through 26. I haven't met you. My name is Aaron. I'm the preaching pastor here, and I'm really glad you're here with us. As mentioned, I know a lot of us are sick right now, so we're glad that you're healthy enough to be with us on this Sunday morning. And I'd love to meet you after the service, so please come and meet me. I'd love to meet you. So John 17, starting in verse 20, and as mentioned, I'll read through verse 26, and then I'll pray again, ask for the Lord's help. Hear these words. John wrote this: "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, just as you, Father, in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Glory you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love me, even as I have loved you. Father, desire that they also, whom you have given to me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory, that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and will continue to make it known, that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." That's God's word for us this morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your holy word. God, as we just sung, we pray that you would speak, O Lord, that you'd use this time to bring glory to Christ. Help us to treasure him more and more. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, we talked about a lot of this. All things for God's glory, all things for our collective joy in him. And this morning, knowing that, I want to go back to something we talked to actually a few months back, which actually is the foundation of all of our sin, which is often taking a good gift given to us from a good God, a means for us to actually find our joy in him. But then we get so attached to the gift that we see the gift as the end and not the means. And so what we do is we distort the good gift, and we actually make an idol out of the gift, which is short, is not keeping together all things for God's glory and all things for our collective joy in him. Right? We're trying to take God, his glory, out of the equation. We twist, we distort his good gifts into pursuit of a hedonistic, shallow, compromised, distorted view of what joy is. For example, the good gift of food. Given to us for the glory of God and our joy in him, we twist it. We abuse food into like gluttony or neglect. The good gift of drink, given to us for the glory of God and our joy in him, we twist it. We abuse it into drunkenness, alcoholism. The good gift of sex, given to us for the glory of God and our joy in him, is twisted in all forms of sexual sins, which are all sins outside of the bounds of a loving marriage between a man and a woman. Right? So we know this is a world we live in filled with like adultery, rape, incest, among a host of other sexual sins. Right? We can go on and on and on. All the good gifts God has given to us, gifts that declare his glory, gifts that are meant to be a means for our joy in him, like we twist them, we distort them, we abuse them. Or as mentioned, we tried to replace the glory of God found in the gifts, and we tried to use the gifts to bring glory to ourselves through idolatry. This morning, as we gather together, I want to focus our time on perhaps one of the things that we're most tempted to twist and distort, particularly in church life, which is actually twisting and distorting of the good gift of community, or in the language of our church pillars, connecting, which is a good gift given to God's people from a good God, a gift meant to testify that indeed he is glorious, he's supreme, a good gift meant to fill our hearts with joy, but a gift that we can very quickly distort and to twist in something that is not designed to be, which I think we can do by falling on both sides of the ditch. So on one side of the ditch, you know, we can see the importance of Christian community in the scriptures. We have learned, as God created us, to live in community with others. I mean, scripture is clear, it's not good for man to live alone. We can hear community talked about in church life, and perhaps in theory, you know, we can nod our head, we can give our amen, we can acknowledge and understand that this is an important gift, a gift given with the expectation that we'll participate in this gift, but in truth, in reality, like we neglect it. As if the gift, the expectation of this gift being used is really not important for us. And so we just isolate ourselves from others, you know, looking for anything we can find to live in isolation. That's what we do, right? We bury ourselves in our work so we have no time for others. We spend all of our free time in isolation, like scrolling through our social media, which, by the way, social media is actually one of the great deceivers of this age, where we try to fool ourselves that we're actually living in community because of things we post or things we like or things we comment on, deceive ourselves into thinking that we're living in community, but the truth, if that's like all we're doing for community, we're actually not living in it. I think the same thing actually we said with like things like online gaming, even podcast listening, right? It can give us an appearance of connecting, but it's just a subtle way for us to live in isolation. You know, it's just you and your screen of choice. We isolate ourselves with busyness, or at least trying to give off the appearance of being too busy to spend time with others. In the upper Midwest, which I know many of us are from, we isolate ourselves often with things like sarcasm. Right? We use sarcasm, a means to try to keep people from not getting too close to us. Right? We don't want them to really know who we are, so we put up the walls of sarcasm to be our defense. Right? On and on and on. Right? We take the good gift and we twist it. We distort it. We can neglect it. In our isolation, we make idols out of ourselves. We're consumed by seeking our own glory. Then there's the other side of the ditch. We actually make idols out of others. And rather than using community for the glory of God, using community to declare that our God is supreme, we actually are declaring that others are supreme. We make an idol out of others. So what do? Right? We obsess over others over community. We prioritize community with others over all things, including our personal pursuit of our God. And this is a real temptation. Right? We give the appearance that we're pursuing God, but we're always involved in church things. But in truth, we're actually not using these things to pursue God, but it's actually just us trying to help feed our idols. Right? We abuse community with things like attachment or codependency type issues. Where we put all of our hope, all of our value, like in a certain person or people, just hoping to get some attention from them. Right? We can prioritize our entire life with the hopes that that certain person or that people will connect with us. Or we just like simply mirror other people. For you Office fans, think of like Andy mirroring Michael. So Andy, he really liked Michael, who's his boss, and he was obsessed with it. So like everything that Michael liked, even down to his top 10 favorite movies, right, Andy liked. Never having an original thought. Never having a real personal conviction. Just whatever community idol you have, whatever they believe, whatever they value, you just mirror it. That's what you believe. We're on the other side of codependency, where we can distort and twist connecting. We can actually do with our enabling. Right? We can enabling, perhaps if we don't want to speak a hard word of truth to someone, because we're worried like how they will receive it or not receive it. Or we can enable others because, truth be told, we kind of like the attention that they give us. Or perhaps we enable others in community because maybe we have like this Messiah complex. We think it's all on us to fix everyone's problems. Or we try to convince ourselves that we're actually really helping someone and they're really growing because of us, but in truth, like they're actually not being helped. Rather, our helping is actually hurting them. Like we're distorting, we're twisting, we're actually feeding, enabling codependency. Right, twisting, distorting the good gift of community. Let me also mention, we live in a world that loves to give out labels. And honestly, at times these labels can help us identify things, can help us maybe understand self better. But I think what we often do is we use labels, we use them as crutches, or we use labels as justification for how we twist and distort things. Let me just give you two common labels that virtually every personality test will point to in some shape or fashion. Labels of introvert, extrovert, right? Because I'm such an introvert, it's really okay that I'm actually not living in community. That's just who I am. That just justifies why I live in introversion, isolation. Or because, you know what, I'm just such an extrovert. I really need to be around people, so it's really not that big a deal that I made an idol out of community. It's really not that big of a deal that I'm codependent on others because I'm just that much of an extrovert. Right? Labels, like, they can have truth in them. They can help us identify how we're wired. But most importantly, I think what we should do with these labels or these things like this, they should actually help us identify where we're actually more prone to twisting and distorting. Right? We can't use these to actually like sinfully justify our actions. Right? These labels should actually help us do the opposite. Like they serve as warnings for us where we may be more prone to fall into the ditch. I keep saying it, twisting, distorting, abusing, making an idol out of the good gift of connecting. Which brings us back to our text this morning, John 17. And the focus of our text of study this morning, which is actually revolved around our connecting. Now, the hopes I had for the story or this sermon this morning is just to help us from falling on either side of the ditch when it comes to our connecting, or perhaps cause us to repent where we maybe fell into the ditch. Maybe right now you're currently sitting in the ditch. I hope that maybe this morning you would repent. You would connect in ways that bring honor to God, that you could actually find joy in Him. So just a quick review of where we are in John's gospel. As I mentioned last week, we looked at the same text, John 17. These are the final words that we read of Jesus from the upper room scene, which started back in John 13, where Jesus with his disciples, he's giving them a farewell address before he would leave and be arrested and then crucified. As also mentioned last week in John 17, this is a prayer of Jesus. This is a prayer that he prayed on behalf of all of his people, not just the people in the upper room scene, but all of his people, actually including all of us here this morning who trust and believe in Christ. We see this is a prayer in verse 1, how Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven, to his heavenly Father to pray. We see this is a prayer in verse 9, where Jesus explicitly said that he's praying for us. For us, for our purpose this morning, as mentioned, we're going to concentrate specifically on what Jesus prayed concerning us and how we are to connect. How we're going to work this morning, I'm actually just going to give you a whole bunch of things, a list. And I actually want us to be actually kind of challenged through most of these, to be challenged to connect in ways that are God-honoring. Okay? I also do want you to be encouraged as well as we go through this. So let's work through the list. So first, simply, we are to connect in ways that bring glory to God. So we talked about this a lot last week. I mentioned this a few times already today. Because it's so important, I actually want to continue to press a point here. Like, our connecting is not simply for us. Right? Red Village Church is not simply or primary in existence for be a place for you and I to connect with others, to find community. Like, we're not just like a social club. Now, obviously, we hope it happens. No doubt there are great benefits as we connect. But our connecting is not first and foremost actually for us. And when it becomes about us, this is where we actually fall on either side of the ditch that we just talked about. Like, we will idolize and worship self for others rather than our God. When we connect as a church family, however it is that we are connecting, whether it be like coming together on Sunday morning like we're doing right now, or sitting together for a meal, eat that together, actually we're going to do right after the service this morning, or you connect in your small group, or you connect with others to serve the church, or you're connecting with others to join a work day, or you connect with others to have them in your home, whoever you're connecting with people, we are to do it in such a way that we're actually declaring the glory of our God that He is supreme. Our connecting is to declare that He's beautiful, He's majestic, that our God is worthy. Every time we connect, we are to do so by setting our hearts in worship of our God, every time. All things, including our connecting, all for the glory of God. Verse 10 of our text. Jesus speaking about His people. All mine are yours and all yours are mine, which speaks to unity within the Trinity. Jesus said, and I am glorified in them. Right? That's the prayer of Jesus. That is our purpose. That is our mission, to connect as a people by which Christ is glorified. Drop it down, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given to me, may be where I am. Why? To see my glory. See, that's what we're after. That's our aim, first and foremost, to see the glory of God put on display among us. That is why healthy biblical connecting, that's why it matters. Listen, somehow when we connect in ways that honor God, he is bringing glory to Himself. You know, including what we're doing right now. Us being here. Look around this room. This is testifying to the glory of God. That's why your church attendance matters. Like every Sunday, you being here, it's for the glory of God. You are saying that He is supreme, He is worthy, He is above everything else. Likewise, after the service, when we're sitting down eating the meal together, you know, look around the room. See your church family eating together, fellowshipping together. As you see that, you are seeing the glory of God put on display. Same thing, as you gather together this week in your small group, look at your group. See how you're connecting with each other. Know that God is glorified in it. By the way, that's also why we hope you can do all you can to be faithful and consistent in your group. because of the glory of God put on display as we connect. Same thing when you serve others in the church, when you help out in work days, when you have people in your home, when you're living life on life together with others, connecting with others. It is for the glory of God to be put on display. It is display that He is supreme. He is the Lord. He is the Master. Which leads to the second thing I want to point out. Second, we are connect according to His word. Meaning, we don't just connect in any which way we want. Rather, because He is our God, because He is our Lord, because He is our Master, we connect in ways that He has designed for us to connect. Our connecting is to be wholly connecting. Connecting in ways that are laid out to us in His word. And verse 6. Right, we are to connect by keeping God's word. Verse 8. We are to connect where we receive and believe the word God has given to us. That it is the word of truth. That it is the word that teaches about the coming of Christ, who He has sent for us. Verses 14 and 16, we're to connect by being different, distinct, holy from the world around us and how we treat each other and what's important to us. Verse 17 through 19, we're to connect in ways by which we are being sanctified. We are being made holy by the word of truth. Right? God's holy word, being obedient to God's word. Right? That's the roadmap. That's the instructions. That's the aim by which we are to connect. Obedience to God, obedience to His word. That is how we testify that indeed we believe He is supreme. Which means that our connecting will not revolve around things that clearly God's word speaks against. Right? There are things that we must not do as we connect. And here I want to be a little challenged here. Let me also mention that our small group of others actually really helped me think through this week. And I hope they are encouraged and challenged by these. So how should we not connect? Things that are not according to the word. Well, things we already talked about, like being codependent or enabling. Like that's not in line with God's word. They're not holy actions. Thus, we cannot connect in those ways. We cannot connect by immersing ourselves in things like gossip and slander. And let's just be gut-level honest here. That's a real temptation for us as we connect. Gossip, slander, that has led to countless numbers of church families absolutely being destroyed. We cannot connect and mutually indulge ourselves in some type of sinful action. Like perhaps like getting together just to get drunk. We can't connect as an attempt to exalt ourselves, where we begin to think that everyone else exists for us. We can't connect by things with self-promoting or self-wallowing. Right? Both of these are trying to put us front and center. We can't connect by showing favoritism or partiality to those we think have power or prestige that we want or admire. We can't connect just so we can judge other people. We can't connect just so we can like name drop of who we have connected with, just to try to make us feel better and more important. We can't connect simply because of the fear of man. We can't connect by pressuring and guilt-tripping others to connect with us. We can't connect just to try to get more information. Let's be honest. Like, we all kind of like to be in the know. And if the only reason that we are connecting is just trying to get the dirt or the skinny on someone else, that's not holy. Right? And on and on and on. Like, all these things. I'm sure we can come actually a lot more. Right? These things, they're not in line with the word. They're not tied to holiness. Do not bring glory to God. And honestly, in the end, if you and I, if we're connecting in these ways, these are self-destructive behaviors. In the end, they will not bring us joy. Something like this always hurts us in the end. Thus, we must cut them off. And by the way, this is part of living in community, is to do, to help each other in this effort. To put off the things that are not helpful, that are not according to the word, that are not holy. So then, how should we connect according to the word? Right? This also be a very long list. Let me just get a handful of things. Right? We should connect by actually seeking to be a blessing. Right? The word tells us it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Connect with that type of attitude, to be a blessing. We should connect with the hopes of making disciples, right? Helping each other to become more godly, not less godly. We should connect by being iron on iron, seeking to sharpen one another. We should connect filled with words of grace and truth, having patience and humility and gentleness. We should connect willing to give and willing to receive hard words of truth if we need it. We should connect in ways in which we're using our gifts. Now, everyone here has gifts that we are to use to serve others. Don't be selfish with your gifts. When we sit on our gifts and do nothing with them, that's not bringing glory to God. That's not declaring that He is supreme. When we neglect the use of our gifts, it actually is hurting us. Listen, using your gifts can be a great means of joy. And when you and I neglect to use our gifts to serve the body, it's hurting others. It's hurting your church family. For this body, this church body, to function properly, all parts need to be serving, working together. If you don't have a place yet to serve here, please talk with me after the service. We'd love to get you more connected, more plugged in. For the glory of God and our collective joy in Him, find ways to connect that are in line with the Word. We should connect by being sacrificial with things like our time, our talents, our treasures. We should connect by planting deep, committed roots into each other's lives. Listen, we know this is a growing struggle within our society. We've talked about this before. Right? It is so easy for us to be mobile, so easy for us just to come and go, to never really invest ourselves in the lives of others. We're just coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. Connect, put roots down. We should connect with the hopes of helping one another become more like Jesus. To help each other to love the things that Jesus loves. To put off the things that Jesus does not love. To be more and more faithful to the things Jesus is calling us to do. Which is actually the last thing for here in this section. We should connect with love and unity, which we're going to talk about more in just a second here. Everything that we see in the Word, what the Word is telling us to do, to not do. That's how we should connect. That's how our God is glorified when we live in holy obedience to His Word. That's how we are declaring that He is supreme. And listen, hear this. And that is where you and I will find joy. Right? The joy of the Lord is what we want. Third, we are to connect with love and unity. Now, what this does not mean is that it's always going to be easier for us to live in love and unity. I mentioned this before, at times, there are seasons, one of the hardest things that we will do together is actually to love one another. Mainly because we're not always going to agree on everything. And because we don't always agree on everything, we're not always going to be on the same page. And our unity, it's going to be challenged. Which, by the way, I think this is why Jesus prayed for us to have love and unity for one another. It's not easy. Like, we need this prayer. Verse 11. And I am no longer in the world, but they, us, right? They are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Father, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given to me. Now, hear this key point. That they may be one. Even as we are one. Dropping down to verse 20 through 21. Jesus said, I don't ask only for these, meaning just the disciples who are within the upper room, but this is for all those who believe, including, once again, us today, that through their word, that they also may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Verse 22. That the glory that you've given to me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 23, I in them, you in me, that they may become perfectly one. Finally, verse 26, I made known to them your name, and I'll continue to make it known, that the love which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Right? That's the heart of Jesus for his people, that they would love each other, that they would live in unity with one another. Not that we're always going to agree on everything. But if we can at least agree that whatever situation, whatever relational struggle we have set before us, if we can at least agree that all things are for the glory of God, if we can at least be unified, that we are to love one another, if that is our starting point, we'd also just recognize that perhaps the times and seasons where it's easiest for us for not to love, when it's easier for us to not be unified, if we at least understand that those are the times that perhaps God is most glorified in us, when we still seek to show love and unity for one another. Fourth, we're to connect with the hopes that we spread the glory of God to those who have not yet known Christ. Verse 21, that they may be one, just as you, Father, in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that, which is an important phrase for us to pick up in the scriptures, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Verse 23, I in them, you in me, that they may be perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Yes, first and foremost, our connecting is for the glory of God. Yes, our connecting is an incredible gift given to us by our very loving God. Yes, our connecting is a means by which we find real joy in God. But let us also remember that, yes, our connecting is for others as well, specifically those who do not yet know Christ. John 13, a new commandment given you that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another by this, by your love, by your loving, by your connecting. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another, our connecting is not just for us, it's for all those around us. Let me just give you two quick testimonies. First is my testimony. College kid, I was pretty much a drunk. I was depressed, frustrated at life. Unsure if there was a God, what he was like. If he was there, I felt he was just cold and distant and grumpy. However, my lowest point, a friend invited me to a Bible study. That's where I learned about Jesus and his love. I learned how Jesus came to die in the place of sinners, how he rose again from the dead. And if I were to turn to him by faith, that I'd be forgiven of my sin, I'd have eternal life. And this message was intriguing for me to hear. But honestly, the catalyst for me to keep going back to this Bible study, at least at first, was actually the love the people in the Bible study had for one another and for me. That is actually what was used by God to make me think, you know what? Maybe there actually is something to this Jesus thing because of this incredible love and unity that they have. I stand before you this morning as a Christian because of holy Christian connecting that I was invited into. Second testimony, this is actually Tim Jansky's dad. A week or so back, I was talking to him, a little over a week ago, and I was just asking him, you know, how did you come to Christ? And there were some similarities that him and I had to our stories, and you know, kind of how we became a Christian, and his story of his faith, how he gained faith in Christ. So at one time, he's actually invited to just a social event at church. I think he said there was cake and ice cream, which he likes, so he decided to go. And you know, when I was there, like, he could see the love the church had for one another and for him. This is different than anything he experienced. It was incredibly intriguing to him. So he kept going back. And once again, likewise, God used Christian love, Christian community, holy connecting to pique his interest, to keep going back until eventually he was converted to Christ. Listen, we don't have to make this harder than it needs to be. We just invite people in, and we love them. It's actually the hopes we have for all the different events that we do. Think all the big events we have throughout the year, things like the Easter egg hunt or VBS or block party, or all the different smaller events that are always happening, like board game nights, potluck, Zumba. Right? We hope these are spaces where we're connecting, working together, loving each other, where we can invite others in so they can see our love, so we can love them, so that through our connecting, we can testify to them about Jesus. That they would see his glory in our connecting, that they might believe in him. Fifth, we are to connect for our joy. Again, not always easy to connect. Honest. At times, connecting is fairly painful. honest. At times, it's just so much easier for us just to disconnect from other people. But also, and more importantly, some of the sweetest times that you and I can have in this life, where our joy meter is running full. Listen, it's when we come together, connect for the glory of our God. This is a sweet gift that God has given to us. A sweet gift that we will be enjoying together throughout all eternity. Just look around this room. Look at each other when you eat the potluck. Look at the people in your small group. Look to those you're serving alongside of. Look at those you're having a meal with. Listen, you're looking and you're seeing gifts of joy. Yes, all things for the glory of God, which is clearly evident when we connect in holy ways. But yes, also all things for our joy in Him. This is why we can't distort and twist our connecting to something that it's not. We can't abuse this gift of joy that God has given to us. Verse 13. What's the prayer of Jesus? Is that they, His people, may have His joy fulfilled in themselves. This morning, listen, smash whatever idol you have made in terms of connecting. Repent. Course direct. Get out of the ditch. Seek the glory of God. Follow the commands of scriptures. And find the joy of the Lord. All things for the glory of God. All things, including our connecting, for our joy in Him. So one last thing I want to point out before we close. Connect by clinging to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the reality. We know this. We all struggle in different ways with our connecting. Some of us here, we know this. We know we really struggle to fall into the ditch of isolation. Others, we know we fall into the ditch of idolizing others. We know. We know these things. We know we don't always connect in ways that are healthy, that are biblical. We know that we have twisted, distorted, and idolized this gift. Thus, we have fell short of the glory of God and what He has designed for us. Which not only has a devastating effect on our joy, but our twisting and abusing of the good gifts from God, all the idols we've made, that has separated us from God, who we are designed and created to be connected to in a relationship filled with love and unity. Listen, our twisting, our distorting, our idol making, this has put us in an utterly hopeless situation when left to ourselves, separated from our God, slaves to sin, under judgment, void of joy. But there's good news. The good news that we believe that Christ came and he still died for us. So that through His shed blood, we'd be forgiven of all of our failures, including of all the ways we have failed to connect. So that through Christ, we would be connected back to God. We would know His love. We would know His joy. And we would know the greatest gift ever, the gift of Himself eternally. Where there'll be no more twisting, no more distorting, where there'll be no more ditches for us to fall into. Everything will be holy, everything will be perfect. Everything will be filled with joy. Verse 2. You have given Him, speaking of Christ, authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given Him. Verses 6 and 9, 10 and 12. Those given to Christ were given to Him as reward for what He has done. Right? Specifically, the work that He has done for us on the cross. He would have a people who would know His love. Our text tells us that He will continue to guard them for all eternity. Nothing will ever separate His people from His love. They will be fully united to Him forever. That through the power of the gospel, we receive great grace, great mercy for all of our failures. This is a gospel that we must cling to and must cherish. The greatest of all gifts, the gifts of the gospel, that we must humbly receive by faith. Church, when we look around the room, listen, not only do we see the glory of God put on display, not only do we see the great means of our joy in Him, listen, we are seeing the power of the gospel on display. That God indeed saves His sinful people from their sin, and He connects them back to Himself and to each other. Church, our connecting, it is important. The glory of God is found in it. It is a means of joy. It's an incredible gift that was bought at an incredible price. For you and I to connect, it costs our Lord His life to redeem all of our twisting and all of our distorting. This is a holy and priceless gift. As I close, I'm just going to invite us here just to confess and turn from whatever ways you may be twisting or distorting community. Just to confess that as sin, to turn to Jesus, to seek His help, and to trust that He actually does forgive us. And this morning to return to the joy of your salvation. And set your heart to use this great gift of connecting to testify that indeed our God is great. All things for the glory of God. All things for our collective joy in Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we humbly come before You this morning, clinging to the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we believe Your word is true, that if we confess our sins, that You are faithful and just to forgive us. So God, please, I pray, You forgive us from how we have misused, distorted, twisted, made an idol out of the good gift of community. God, please give us grace. And Lord, I do pray that You would help us to connect in ways that are pleasing to You, that are in line with Your word, that do testify that indeed You are supreme, that You're glorious, that You're good, that You're worthy. God, may all that we do as a church bring glory to Christ. God, I pray You would fill us this morning with Your joy, deep, deep joy, the joy of Jesus Christ. In His name we pray.